And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Happy birthday, Captain Trips, wherever you may roam. I think he'd be 78. Yeah, he'd be 78. That being said, welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood, and I did nothing this week. I mean, literally nothing. Like, imagine yourself doing nothing, and then imagine less than that. And you'll have some sort of capture on what my week was like. Last Sunday, I was downstairs in the kitchen, and I think I mentioned my meds have been lowered. They've been lowered and adjusted, kind of spread out, maybe differently. As a matter of fact, she can't get up because she's in the studio and she's in the bedroom. She's all whiny because she has a headache, but I need a pill. If you get me one of those pills from the if the producer can actually do a producerly job, one of the pills from the big bottle. It's the big one, Elizabeth. That would be helpful to me because I forgot to grab it before I came in here because I was doing stuff prior to arriving in the big chair. So last Saturday I was downstairs in the dining area. Talking to my aunt for a while, about an hour or so. And I went to get up, and I got a little dizzy. Which is not uncommon. Not uncommon. And I moved into the kitchen, and I started to have... Which is only a couple, like maybe 10 feet away. And I started to have some sort of swoony, woozy moment. And I collapsed. I pretty much went straight down, which is actually good when you're as big as I am. But I kind of sprung my knees, because my knees bent radically and very fast. The pill, thank you. That's very helpful. Very helpful. All right, I gotta take this pill. Hang on. So I went upstairs and I made it up the stairs because it's all on the first floor. And I got into bed and, like I normally do, hang on. And a couple hours later, I started to feel a little sore, which I guess makes sense. And then by the next morning, which was Monday, I really couldn't move very well at all. I was contemplating going into the hospital, but I figured they'd just give me something for it and send me on my way, which means it would just be a pain in the neck and very painful, literally, to get over there to the hospital. So I opted not to go. So here I am a week later. I've not left the bedroom other than to use the bathroom and waddle over into the studio. I'm here tonight, and I was here this morning for a everything bagel. See, motivators. You gotta have like motivators. You gotta like get everything bagel with cream cheese on a stick with a string and just pull it along, and you'll see me not far behind. So I'm feeling better. I guess tomorrow will be a week. Yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm going to try and go down the stairs tomorrow and see how that works out for me. But I really did nothing. I just kind of laid in bed, and I listened to the scanner, and I watched television, and I was on the phone a lot, actually. Gave me an opportunity to catch up with various individuals I haven't had the chance to catch up with. That being said, I may or may not have a guest tomorrow. Next week. I'm not sure. It's dependent upon two things. It's dependent upon whether the guest actually wants to come on, and as to whether I can get the sound hooked up for it properly, you know, the mix minus. So that's a big ass maybe, as they say. That's a big ass maybe. If not, it'll just be me. Hopefully we'll have some music. I didn't even feel motivated enough to do music. You know what it is? It's like, oh God, it's summer. It is like summer now. Now it's not like no kidding around. It's summer. It's that part of summer where you realize how freaking long summer is going to be, and you're like, oh my God. Yeah, it's the heat. I don't do well in the heat, and now I'm worried about long term. Going to Texas, I'm going to have to like move into a refrigerator or something along those lines, because I'm not going to be able to come out. Not going to be able to come outside. Just see me in February. I'll come out in February when it's 75 degrees. I'll be like, hey, what's going on? And then right back in. I'm not going to be able to deal with it in the long term, which is, you know, it is what it is. I'll sweat. I sweat profusely. I don't know what's going on in my sweat. I guess it's the meds or something. But my sweat, it smells different. Is there no other way to put it? It smells different than it used to smell. It never used to smell like this. It's not much worse. It's not much better. It's just different. And it's enough to like freak you out. It's just like, what's going on with that? And the other thing this week was, my cat, you know, my male cat Spatsy, you know, the 10-year-old, he started to have excreting. I don't know if I talked about this, because now I talked about it on the phone. It's almost like they have like scent glands right inside where their butt is, and it kind of like puts stuff out, and that's how they, that's how cats like know each other, you know, because it's apparently a very unique thing. So his hair underneath his butt started to get matted on like a regular basis. So we've been kind of washing it, you know, because he's kind of fat. I mean, he's really fat. I don't know. Some of you have seen this cat. Some of you haven't, but he's fat. And we've been washing his butt. We've been wiping him down, and he seems to be doing pretty good now. He seems to be all right. You know, I was worried that maybe there was some infection or some swollen or something, but no, he seems perfectly normal. As a matter of fact, if we even look at his butt, he gets a little ornery now. He's tired. He's tired of getting his butt checked, you know. And which reminds me, because you know this, I guess this whole thing with TikTok, where you know the China app, where the one the president wants to get rid of, is that the only thing that I found that was even remotely amusing on TikTok was that thing with the, you know, I'm about to whip somebody's butt, that thing, you know, when you got the little cats or whatever, the dog, somebody's coming near the dog or the cat, and you hear this, they start the music and the cat goes into like, don't fuck with me mode. Yeah, that's the best thing on TikTok. If TikTok went away, if it went away tomorrow, my life would go on. So yeah, I have a story on that. I have a couple few stories. I pulled some news, actually. That's what I was doing prior to arriving. I literally pulled some news and just walked in and sat down. I had like a 5-minute sound check, which is a lot easier to do when I'm not playing any tunes. It's just pretty much sit down and make sure it works. So I did that, and I feel kind of like, you know, it's not even that it's like I don't feel enthusiastic to be sitting here, because it's always, you know, the mic or the RE27, you sit there, and it's like, it's big, you know? So I was talking to a friend of mine, a longtime pirate friend, as a matter of fact, yesterday, last night. I was talking to him about that, where, you know, you sit down, and you just, it's umphy, and it's just, you know, phallic-y, and it's huge, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I look forward to that, and I do look forward to the sound of my own voice, as most of you know. But I didn't feel strongly motivated. And usually try to walk in with some ideas to what I wanted to the show to be about. No idea. No, none. Zero. You know, I know John says that all the time. JL says, oh, I don't know where this one's going. I only put in 29,000 hours. I don't know if I got enough stuff. I'm probably only going to do an hour again. I tell you the truth, you know, I really did like that format last week. I just like being able to come out and do an hour and then leave. Maybe if I happen to be reasonably lukewarm or hot towards the close of the hour, maybe go a little bit longer. But, you know, because the math is the same. You know, if I come out and I do an hour of talk, it's the same thing as if I come out and did like 80 minutes or a change of with music. You just there isn't any music. It's a difference. You have to like imagine the music's in your head. You can do the thing. I'm about to whip somebody's ass. It's more of like a little. I'm about to whip somebody's ass. It's like that. It goes like that. You know what I'm talking about. You people on you TikTok users, you know what I'm talking about. It's the only thing that I found of use up there. 100% true. Aside from that, I did nothing. I'm back to like, what did you do? I did absolutely nothing. I did give some thought to doing some stuff, though. I mean, you know, it takes me a while sometimes to like line up stuff in my head. I got to do it in my head first. I have to have like a little list. And it's almost like on like when I talk about and I'm going to buy something, I usually talk about it for a little while. And then one day, that's an interesting sound. One day, I just go buy it, you know. And because I've been talking about that camera a lot lately. So I'm like, I'm waiting for like one more thing to like fall into place. And then I think I'm just going to go splurge on that camera. Speaking of cameras, interestingly enough, I opened up the camera app. There's the main camera that was being used streaming, you know, video streaming. Back when I was video streaming, I guess a year ago, maybe a little bit more. It sits on top of the monitor in here, so it's like lined up right directly with me. And I was wondering, because, you know, I added the microphone since then, and the microphone's on a stand, and it's right in front of me. So I was wondering if there was going to be any interference from the microphone. When I turned the, I think I could do it again. Actually, let me see. When I turned the, you know, the streaming software on, because the camera's going to be in the same position. And you know what? I think you can see me perfectly. I can just about see over the microphone, but, it doesn't block, no, I don't want to install those. It doesn't block at all. So there's a real, real strong possibility that, I'll be, like I said, I think I'll be streaming to Vaughn, and I'll probably put the links to that, on my page, so that you don't have to go over to Vaughn, because Vaughn can be scary. There's really no other way to put it. It's absolutely positively no other way to put it. Vaughn can be scary. So I think it's Vaughn.tv or Vaughn.scary. It's something like that. But I already have a page over there, and I think I'm going to start playing with that like sometime relatively soon. Obviously not this week, and obviously not next week, because I'll probably be having a guest, or maybe not having a guest, but I won't be doing it next week. But sometime within, within the next month or so, I really want to start to move back in that direction. I'm just waiting. I mean, it's summer. This is what they call, you know, it's Sirius. It's the dog star. The dog days of summer. Just, man, it just seems, this is what frightens me, is it's July. Seemed like it took, like, at least 7 weeks. Seems like it's been July for 7 weeks. And that's like, I don't know, are we even at half point? I think somewhere, one of these schools, somewhere I know recently, I'm whisping. Wow, I don't know what's going on there. One of these schools opened back up in one of these states here in America. And so they were like, yeah, we got this under control. Don't worry about it. And like within 3 hours, one of the kids tested positive for COVID. So they're like, okay. So maybe this wasn't the best idea in the world. So it's going to be interesting. I think the teachers union, which is one of the more powerful unions in the country, you know, they scare me more than the Teamsters, quite frankly. I think they're going to be making some demands. I think they're going to try and coattail this situation into something that is more beneficial to their already gratuitous lifestyles, quite frankly. You know, everybody's like, but the teachers, it's like, you know what, not for nothing. I would say 75% of the teachers I've ever encountered were dicks, quite frankly. You know what, you didn't want to go to Vietnam? Okay. You know, but that doesn't mean that you have to, like, indoctrinate. You know, I've never met a teacher who was conservative. Never did. Never ran into one of those. You know, I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't encountered them. And I'm. It's not even that I'm not a fan of education. I mean, I think having the I was having this conversation again this week with the idea of school tax. Where, you know, how many people out there are paying school tax? They're paying a tax for a school, and they don't even have kids. you know, and they're like, well, I don't have kids. Why should I have to pay for, you know, school bags? And it's like, it's one of those infrastructure things, you know, where it's, you say to yourself, well, it's not really socialism. It's, you know, it's not. It's the idea becomes if, you know, it's for the benefit of us all. And I truly, truly understand that. And I tell people, I know I wouldn't mind paying a school tax if the vast majority of people, children, I suppose, who were of school age could manage to put a sentence together. That's a big one. That's a big one in my book because, I mean, I know I live in a ethnically challenged, I'm ethnically challenged. That's right. I live in what's been described as a ethnic neighborhood. All right, well, that being said, you know, I know there's, like, language barriers. I know it's a lot of ESL, English as a second language. I know, I'm aware of that. I can live with that. But even the ones who are speaking English, I don't understand what they're saying. I don't get it. I think I skipped, like I said, I go on about this all the time, but you know, the millennials, everybody my age is complaining, oh, the millennials. Okay, so while you were paying attention to the millennials, disease snuck in on you. And now, I'm talking about X, Y, Z. I don't even know what comes after Z. I can't, maybe they just start all over again and they go to A. Maybe it's going to be the A's. I'm not really sure. But I can tell you, I have nothing in common with them, like to the point of like they're a different species. So that being said, I only, you know, the producer and I kid about this all the time. It's like, you know, because I'm 50 and the producer is over 30. All right. And the idea becomes if we can go another 25 years, you know, without the wheels falling off the whole thing, as they say. We'd be reasonably content. I know I would be reasonably content. I think not for nothing. 75 years for someone like myself, who really wasn't supposed to make it past 30, is pretty monumental. You know, and it's not like I've got anything to pass along. I'm sure most of you have figured that out by now. You know what I mean? I'm not going to become one of those grand old sage guys, you know? And I don't want to be like this strange uncle-in-law at Thanksgiving. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. It's going to be strange enough integrating myself into a new family unit in Texas. Although, to my understanding, I'll fit right in, which is really kind of scary unto itself right there. But that being said, so, yeah, just another 20 years or so. But we're going to have to understand what these kids are saying. There's got to be some sort of syllabus, some sort of book they can distribute to us older folks. Because I'm one of those older folks now. I'm one of those get off my lawn guys. I am. I've literally become that guy. I'm just like, I freak out if I'm not in control of my own environment. I do. I don't really have a lawn. I have to take pictures of the front of this house. What is going on with that? I think I like fell asleep for a little while and I don't think my mouth woke up. I'm like, bleh. My jaw is just kind of like, what's going on? But I want to take some pictures because we're supposedly, see what I'm saying about, see what's going on now? Supposedly, it's slurry. Slurry. I feel like I sound like I had a drink or two, which I haven't in quite a few times. You know, quite a few months. Actually, no, I drank on the 4th of July. That's the last time I had a drink. Any booze was on the 4th of July. So, and that's now going on almost a month. So, and I'm still slurry. So, what's that tell you? But I have to take a picture of the front of the house because I want you to see the vegetation. I want you to see how badly, and it's pretty much my fault, how badly I neglected the front of this house, and you see how much green stuff there is. You know, not for nothing, I get up this afternoon, and I roll out of bed, you know. So I move into the studio for my everything bagel, right? Get here, and there's no Cornelia. Now, Cornelia is the smaller kitty. She's the mask and mantle that lives in the house, and she's like five. Five or six, maybe five. And she always comes in here because I always give her milk if I have cereal. and she hasn't figured out the difference between a bagel and cereal. So it's pretty much, oh, I may as well just go in there because there's a pretty good chance I'm going to get some milk. So see, like every morning, every afternoon, she's usually waiting outside the door when like, she can hear me. That's how much my joints creak. They're like, crack, 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 crack. The cat's like, yeah, he's getting up. So she wasn't here, which is like, oh, all right. It turns out that when the producer was pulling in the groceries, because we had a grocery delivery, God help me, please, delivery. And yeah, we didn't want to leave. We didn't want to go out. We didn't want to leave the house. See, I wasn't going anywhere, and the producer wasn't going anywhere without me. So that being said, we called up and we had BJ's deliver. She apparently had let the cat out. Cat was out. Cat was gone. Cat was gone. So, and I'm like, I don't notice nothing, right? She goes, like, after dinner, we had sausage and peppers. Hot and sweet. So, for whatever reason, she winds up opening the door. And there's the cat sitting on the other side of the door going, what's your deal? You know, because I have this thing about, I'm worried about my cats running away. I know Spats won't run away. He'll just sit there in front of the house eating the vegetation and then getting sick later on in the house. But Corny, I've always been a little bit concerned because she was a... She came from the street. She actually belonged to a drug dealer that lived next door. It's a long story. And I'm always afraid because I don't want her to disappear. That would make me sad. So apparently she got out. And the good news is she didn't leave. That's the good news. The good news, and she was out there for a while. She's out there a few hours. So the good news is she didn't leave, and the bad news is she didn't get. Oh, did she get? I think she got milk when she came back in. She was given thank you for not running away milk. So, but that was, you know, I live in fear of my cats like disappearing or something bad happening to my cats. They're like literally, they're like my kids. They're like my children. Yeah, you know, I would pay a tax. I would pay a cat tax. Matter of fact, I do pay a bit of a cat tax. But that's how attached I am to my cats. I would pay a tax. They are like my children. People are like, yeah, but they're not kids. Yeah, but they are. But they are. Not for nothing. They have their own distinct little personalities. And I don't even have to go to parent-teacher night. It just really works out well. And they're kind of communicative as well, too. Some of them. I think Spatsy's very vocal. Spatsy's vocal enough to do this program. I'm actually going to see if I can get him to do this program at some point in time. I have to find out the proper motivator to get him to do the program. But I'm going to give it a shot, and I'm going to see what happens. Because he can't do much worse than I am. You know, it's like, let Spatsy write the show. Yeah, yeah, you know, but there's no writing going on here. See, that's the interesting thing that you may have noticed about this program. Is I literally just come in here, and I sit down, and I start yammering. And if I'm able to do it for like an hour in counseling, this is like a breeze. This is like nothing. Because counseling, it's kind of like you have to, you know, they're always asking you questions. And why is it so warm in here? My God. Hang on for a sec. Don't go away. Don't go away. Christ's sakes. All right. Let me get a little freaking cold air. I'm fucking dying. Oh my God. See? This is the problem with running, it's better, I can feel it now at least, running air conditioner all the time. Got that 10,000 BTU air conditioner in the bedroom all the time. I mean, it's like, and now I've even lowered it. I think it's down to like 70 or 69, 68 or something. Yeah, I'm not kidding around. It's like, that's it. It's cold. You can see your breath when you go in there. And that's probably why I fainted. I fainted. I didn't lose consciousness, though, so I don't know if it was really a faint or not. But that's a good thing I didn't hit my head, you know, and I'm like, I said something to my counselor. I don't want to say something to my shrink because they're going messing with my meds again, and it's like, you know what? Here's the deal. It was like 6 hours after I'd taken my meds. It had nothing to do with my meds. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all, you know. And then, you know, the producer starts sending me stuff because I'm on the phone. Wow, what is it with the wow? I can't get that. I can't make that shape with my mouth. I'm unable to make the shape that I'm required to make the microphone work. Yeah. All right. Wow. That being said, there's something, it's swishy. You know what? I'm taking the cans off, first of all. I'm no longer using the cans. I'm putting the cans over here. Paid an arm and a leg for these real spiffy cans, and I'm not going to use them right now because I am literally too warm. So I'm actually just going, let me see if I can put this on and get a little tactile feedback there. Okay, I can hear myself. See, I'm one of those guys who needs to hear myself. If I can't hear myself, I get freaked out. And I know what you mean. I know you're thinking, well, can't you hear yourself anyway? And it's like, no, I have to hear a audio reproduction level of myself or I start to get really weird. And I can't talk, which is probably not a bad thing as far as most of you are concerned. That being said, I'm sweating. Oh my God. I cannot believe. Hang on. I'm literally taking the shirt off. And drying my sweat with it. There you go. There's a visual for you. All right. Just a little pat down. All right. That's fine. I'm going to put that there. Got my lemonade. Okay. Much better. Much, much, much better. Oh, God. I felt like I was going to swoon again. And I'm in a chair, so I don't know what would happen. I literally, check this out. I haven't seen my aunt in a week. You know the one I live in a house with? Haven't seen her for a week. No, I've seen, like, signs. You know, like the light will go on and the light will go off, but I've actually not physically had any sort of contact. That's how much space there is. I mean, as far as, you know, and there's so much stuff in here that there would be so much more space if the stuff weren't here. But you can still, you know, two people can still go a period of time without seeing each other. Like, I'll see the porch light go on, I'll see the porch light go off. That's a big one, you know. But I'm just using this moment or two to cool down before I go forward. Okay. Oh, and the only other, and it's not really an exciting thing, but it's nice when people thank you. You know, I appreciate that. I was sent an invitation to a friggin' Facebook, two groups actually this week. One, a hi-fi audio group, you know, from the, like, I guess it's vintage hi-fi, which is always kind of fun because, you know, that's when I was a kid, you know. The solid state amps and all that stuff. I think Alan Sane sent me that one. And News Guy sent me an invitation to a conservative news group or a conservative group. Yeah, disciplined group. And that's fun. I mean, you know, I don't know about you. And I think it's my OCD. So this is a good explanation as to why this is. So I'm not so much asking why I do this as I'm wondering if you do this. Is I can't log in to Facebook without zeroing out my groups. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, where you take the little indicator and you open it so that they know, you know, and they added a groups link on the bottom, which is actually kind of used mostly friggin' Android. So that being said, you know, I'm able to get in, and I scan, and I do. It's, you know, I scan stuff, and I try not to belong to too many groups because then it'll just take me, like, hours and hours and hours to log out of Facebook. And I never really log out. I just close it. But I think you understand what I'm saying, you know? I think I maybe belong to, like, maybe 15 groups, 15, 16 groups. Yeah, about that. Sounds about right. And I've pretty much reached capacity, whereas if I were to join another group, I would have to lose another group because I just can't manage to keep track of everything that's going on. And it bothers me if I don't. I feel like I've failed in some way, shape, or form. See, this is mental. Take a snapshot, boys and girls, because this is mental illness. I feel like I've failed in some way. I feel like I've let Facebook down. And I don't want to do that. You know, Zuckerberg does that enough. I don't need to be doing that. You know, that being said, I think there was, last week I didn't mention it, my Twitter, followers dropped, it just dropped by 50, like a, went like swoop, I mean, like, you can't see it, but it's like a swoop, you know, like the Nike swoop, 50 at one time. Now, believe me, you know, I've been known to, you know, people, I have an expiration date. People get tired of me. It's always been that way. But 50 at one time? Now, so I did a little research. And it turns out that they did a purge again, another purge. And I think it involved mostly Q people. And I don't specifically have... I don't specifically have Q mentioned in my bio. All my bios are the same on all the social media. It says Patriot and Podcaster. That's it. Patriot and Podcaster. Doesn't say any more. Doesn't say any less. Because it's just enough. That word Patriot, it's kind of, you know, you give it the airy eyeball. It's like, what's that mean? What's he mean by Patriot? Does he mean that I'm not Patriot enough? Is that what he means? Is that what he's trying to say? Is that what he's trying to say? So I just do that because it keeps people wondering. And I don't have Q in the bio. Now, you know, I don't know what the algorithm was. I don't know what they used. And my sciences are killing me. I don't know what was put into the algorithm to, you know, how they knock people off, whether it was in the bio or whether it was the X number of, you know, I don't even know the power that they have. I mean, I imagine it's the algorithm can be quite powerful in regards to, you know, what they can set the parameters for and how deep it can look into your account. I retweet a fair amount of Q stuff. I mean, not a crazy amount, but certainly I mean, if you're going after Q people, eventually you'd have to get around to me. I mean, When you look at my, if I lost 50 people, literally, if I lost 50 accounts, 50 followers, and they just went after Q people, I mean, that should tell you 50 out of 1,000, what's that, like 20%? Sound right? Roughly? It's math? Anybody? Bueller? No? Yeah, the math thing's real rough on me. That being said, yeah, it's gotta be. Yeah, I think that there was, just speaking of censorship, I think there was another thing in front of thing, you know, those things that they have in front of Congress in you know, one of the subcommittees and something or another, and I think the platforms took a hit again, which is good. As well they should. I mean, the idea of conservative voices, regardless of how conservative, let's say right, you know, center, from center right. Okay, we'll say that because that encompasses everyone. Not leaving anybody out. And I'm not being, you know, snotty about it. They did. I guess maybe that was part of the Q thing as well, too, because it was a week later that they were talking about it. But I know as we move in deeper into the election cycle, more and more you're going to see, or more accurately, more and more there'll be less to see as far as center-right voices go. The liberals have a lock on pretty much the main platforms, the possible exception of Gab, which is still a favorite of mine. And I think Parlay... also, at this point in time, is pretty much up for grabs, where I don't think that they're censoring too much over there, because I see a lot of left and right, which is really, you know, not for nothing, which is really nice, because I don't see a lot of left, you know, left to center left, being kind once again, and breaking that down on. On Gab. Gab seems to be mostly Nazis. Not well, a lot. A lot, you know. Which is, you know, Nazis have to have somewhere to go. I mean, you know, look what happened last time when they didn't have anywhere to go. So, I mean, you kind of want to give them somewhere to meet. You know, have a couple of beers. And you know, you get what I'm saying. You know, somehow, that seemed a lot funnier in my head. But anyway, most of this does. And again, I say to you, why don't we stick you in front of a microphone and see what you can come up with? Okay? No notes, no nothing, no nothing. Let's see what you can come up with. Let's see how gifted you are. Let's see what, you know, talent on loan from God that you're exhibiting. Please. Please. Yeah. Anyway, let me get into some news. I did. I was relatively careful about what I pulled down for news. And I didn't. One thing I didn't pull down was the Attorney General Barr being in front of the Select Committee. And, you know, they were pretty, I mean, anybody who saw it, and if you listen to the show, I presume that you either saw it live or possibly saw it after the fact, or at least pieces of it. They were pretty brutal, you know, as was to be expected. But I think he handled himself pretty well, and he does consistently. So I'm pretty impressed with Attorney General Barr and his ability to withstand the onslaught. You know, he tries to, you know, how many times did they say, you know, they wanted their time reset because he interrupted them, which is hilarious, really, if you stop and think about it. Well, if you're asking me a question and you want the answer and I start to answer the question and then you turn around and say that I'm interrupting you because I'm answering the question, where does that leave us? So anyway, you know, and I pulled this on the side because this has always been of interest to me. And there's another storm going to hit Florida, or maybe not, as it turns out. This is out of Florida Weekly, and this was August 2nd, so this is dated today. Famous author and felines who bear his name. All right, I don't know how many of you are aware, how many cat people out there are aware of Hemingway. And I guess it's a mutation, because all the cats out there, at least there's a large amount of cats out there. Yeah, I'm going on about cats. I'm going to be like the crazy cat podcast. I'm sure somebody's doing that, by the way, now that I think about it. So I didn't mean to infringe copyright was. But yeah, I'm doing cats again. There's a mutation out there within a certain strain or a family of cats, I guess, pied. I don't even know what they call them. Where they have six toes, it's the coolest thing if you've ever seen photos of it. And what they do is they hang around. These are the cats that hang around Hemingway House on Key West. So, and I know the last big storm they had, what they did was they let the cats inside the house because they were afraid that the cats or something was going to happen to the cats. So they herded, which must have been hilarious. I would love to have seen the outtakes on that, or any video at all, let alone outtakes. They herded the cats into the freaking house, and the cats were inside the house for the storm, which is really kind of cool that they would, you know, because I guess they're as much a church attraction as anything else there are. And they all look different. You know how cats are splotchy, or, you know, there'll be tigers or whatever the story may be. So it's not so much what they look like other than the extra toe, to my understanding. So let me read this article. Warm and fuzzy are not adjectives typically used to describe the emphatically macho Ernest Hemingway. His sentences are short, devoid of flowery and descriptive language. His pastimes include such red-blooded hobbies as boxing, hunting, and fishing for marlin. However is it then that a man known as a tough guy has come to be known by so many as the namesake. Let me try it. I'm gonna put the cans back on. I think the cans, not having my voice in the cans, are screwing with me. And I'm gonna turn this off. Yeah, that's better. Oh, that's a lot better. Okay. How is it then that a man known as a tough guy has come to be known by so many as the namesake for the dozens of cats that roam the Key West property where he once lived? If you visit the Ernest Hemingway home and museum today, the furry four-legged residents are, for many, the main attraction. Cats stretched out and sun themselves on the beaches or by the eye pool. They snooze on beds. They even climb and roost in palm trees that dot the property. It all started with one. The history books say that Hemingway was gifted a six-toed white kitten by a local mariner, Captain Stanley Dexter, after Hemingway had admired a captain's own six-toed feline, Snowball, at a local watering hole in 1935. His sons named the kitten Snow White, beginning with the famous storybook character. Hemingway named all of his cats after famous people. There are miniature gravestones on the museum's ground commemorating the lives of such celebrities as Willard Scott, who died at age 12 in 1988, Errol Flynn, who was only 6 when he died in 2005, and Gremlin, who lived for 19 years before his death in 2005. The museum honors that tradition today. According to Alexa Morgan, Director of Public Relations and the Media Department of the Hemingway Home and the museum, though all of the cats carry the polydactyl gene, only 70% show it with extra toes. But the Hemingway cats, with 4 and 5 toes, can still have 6-toed kittens. So apparently that's recessive. That's interesting. Once there is a litter, we wait until they have completed their vaccines and we know their sex, Mrs. Morgan said. From there, all the employees get to cast their votes. Currently, to name a few, we have Lucille Ball, Ginger Rogers, Sloopy, Joe Russell, Jackie O, and Alfred Hitchcock. Some, but not all, of the 40 to 50 cats who live on museum grounds are descendants of Snow White. Cat chromosomes. The multi-toed cats that reside at Ernest Hemingway Home and Museum are all congenital physical abnormally. All have a congenital physical abnormality called polydactyl. Polydactyl is an asomal dominant trait, meaning that a polydactyl gene inherited from one parent is sufficient for a kitten to develop extra toes, but the gene does not always express itself in the offspring. Polydactyl cats are known as conch cats, no doubt a reference to their Key West connection. Thumb cats, boxing cats, snowshoe cats, mitten foot cats, Cardi cats, not a reference to a certain female rapper, but instead a Cardiffshire, which is a small town in Wales where the cats were especially present. Non-polydactyl cats typically have a total of 18 toes, with 5 on each paw and 4 toes behind and 4 toes on each hind paw. Though Hemingway's cats are often affectionately known as 6-toed cats, because polydactyl is often syllables too many after a Hemingway, because polydactyl is a few syllables too many after a Hemingway, daiquiri. Okay. That's not very masculine either, as far as daiquiris go, as far as the drink goes. I don't imagine him. I guess he must have. I guess it's documented. Polydactyl cats have extra toes on only their front paws, or on both of their front paws and their back paws. It's rare for a cat to exhibit extra digits on its back paws alone, and rarer still for a cat to have toes on all 4 paws. That's interesting, because that would be like 24. The most adorable cases, a 6-toe on the front paw tends to make it look like the cat is wearing mittens. Some polydactyl cats also have D-claws, which grow higher on the leg and don't contact with the ground when the cat is standing, but give the animal an additional claw with which to capture and hold prey. Oh, joy. Genetic abnormality is the most commonly found in cats along the east coast of North America and in southwestern England and Wales. Intelligent minds disagree as to whether the mutation originated in New England or in actual England, but there is a consensus that it was spread largely by cats transported on ships sailing out of Boston. Sailors reportedly thought paradontal cats were lucky, and the cats were prized for their spectacular or superior climbing and hunting abilities, which helped control rodent populations on board. Mara Krause, Collier County's principal environmental specialist, adopted a black polydactyl cat in 2006 and named him Ernie. Ernie is his short name, she said. He is Ernest, yes, after Hemingway. We figured it was only fitting Ernie be named after Hemingway. He actually has 7 toes, including a D-claw, and he can use the extra and 6 toes as opposing thumbs, as he likes to grab them and does know when he has them. He likes to show them off. That's funny. He will stretch and spread his feet out, and it almost looks like he's wearing mittens because the extra toes are on the inside like thumbs would be. He's a very good hunter, and he likes to bring home weekly presents. Paradactyl is not specific to any particular breed. It can appear in black cats, white cats, tabbies, or any other color combination crossbreeding can engineer. In fact, the 2 cats tied for the most toes in the Guinness Book of World Record at 28 toes apiece are tabbies. Alas, neither reside in Key West. Perhaps the most famous polydactyl polydactyl cat of all time is Little Bub, who had 22 toes and was an internet and film sensation. Little Bub and Friends, a documentary feature about the popularity of cats in internet memes and viral videos, won the Tribeca Online Festival Best Feature Film Award in 2013, and whose death in 2019 sent ripples of grief through the world of online cat lovers. And President Theodore Roosevelt even had a six-toed cat named Slippers, so that's clever, who he was said to have doted on during his tenure in the White House. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, much like the celebrity namesakes, each one of the polydactyl cats who live on the Hemingway property has its own personality. These cats are funny in their own way, said Karen Ward, a former Hemingway Home employee who now sells art in the gift shop. Each one has an individual personality and stakes out their own area of the property. I personally love Rita Hayworth. I say Rita, and she'll let out a very loud meow. Mrs. Hayworth is not the only quirky kitty on the premises. Shirley Temple crosses her front paws when she sits, while Mrs. Ward said. Gina Lola Brigida sits in a chair like a human. Teddy Roosevelt needs to be picked up by the workers, not visitors, and carried into his head on your shoulders. Amelia Earhart leaps from countertop to countertop, living up to her name. Daisy Buchanan sleeps on a bed in Hemingway's bedroom. Celia Cruz, named after the great Cuban-American singer, meets the workers at the back gate when they arrive to work. Josephine Parker, who is at least 100 years old, okay, 21, you got to do the math. It's tough, yeah. Will stare you down but won't let you pet her unless she knows you. Howard Hughes is a recluse who hides in the cellar window when it gets too people-y. I like that, too people-y. I have to remember that. It's too people-y in here. Elizabeth Taylor woos men. If they sit at their table, she will sit on their laps and won't let them leave. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wow, so there's a bunch of them. It wouldn't be true Key West story without a little supernatural flair. Once they go off to join Papa Hemingway in the afterlife, deceased Hemingway cats are buried on the property in a seaside cat cemetery. According to David Sloan, an expert on Key West's haunted history, owner of Sloan's Key West Ghost Hunt, and author of Tutu, the Almost Hemingway Cat, the ghost of Hemingway's cat's past have been known to continue prowling around the grounds even after they've left the mortal coil. Now, this is interesting. Cat ghost. Decades ago, friends of former city commissioner Merrill McCoy were renting one of the upstairs units in the carriage house in the Hemingway home, Mrs. Sloan said. They started waking up in the middle of the night, and there would be black and white tuxedo cats sitting on their bed. The husband would feel it walk around his legs. There were cats on the property, so he figured it must have left the door open. But then he would go to pet the cat, and it would disappear. One morning, he woke and felt paws on his chest, opened his eyes, and saw the cat standing there, looking him in the face. The cat meowed and then disappeared, but not before his wife said, "Honey, open the door. The cat wants to get out." Both of them heard the meow. One of Mr. Sloan's great cat hunt employees also had worked at Hemingway House for a time. Ray said that there was one cat called Dracula because his cat used to live in the basement and could always be found somewhere in the dark. He wasn't social at all, he said. One day, in the middle of the day, Dracula came out, walked 10 steps into the light, and died. After that, Ray started seeing the cat on the wall in the Hemingway House during the haunted Key West mansions. He led, meaning the Hemingway Key West tours. Okay, tours he led. Yeah, which must be nice. I'm going to have to go down there one of these days. It's on my bucket list, but I don't think that's going to happen before I leave for the great state of Texas. As one might expect, monitoring all the cats, real or spectral, on the Hemingway property is a bit like, well, herding cats. To control the population, the Hemingway home allows each generation of cats only one litter per year. Once the pregnant female has given birth, she and the rest of her generation cohorts are spayed or neutered. For the resident cats, we have a small crew that shows up daily to tend the cats and property. Mrs. Morgan of Hemingway House said, routine procedures like ear mite treatment, flea spraying, and worming are performed by local veterinarian Edie Clark. Dr. Clark also administers all vaccinations and performs routine feline health maintenance. During Hurricane Irma, which hit Key West as a Category 4 storm and decimated the entire stretches of Florida Keys, 10 dedicated staff members remained on the property to ensure the 54 living cats at the museum were cared for and emerged at the end of the storm unharmed. The museum's thick lime walls and the property's generators kept the cats and caretakers safe and cool. And staff had stocked up on food, water, and medical supplies, so everyone was well-fed and happy. Does the staff ever actually have to herd stray cats back onto the property? Not a chance. These cats are so spoiled and loved that they have no reason to want to venture off, Mrs. Morgan said. But they have a free reign of the property, which sometimes results in cat wedding crashes. Many times we have cats walking up the aisle, laying on a dance floor, or photobombing pictures. That must be cool. As Mrs. Morgan said, it's a matrimonial hazard couples are happy to endure for the heartwarming and hilarious photos that result. Cats in court. Hemingway's polydactyl crew appear to be content with the pampered lifestyle, but some animal activist visitors to the Hemingway Museum are not always happy to see the cats. Let sleeping cats lie. In 2003, a museum volunteer concerned about the cat's welfare filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, claiming the museum was exhibiting the cats without an appropriate license in accordance with the Animal Welfare Act. Never mind the fact that the license in question hadn't been appropriate for the Hemingway Museum, as it would have required the animals to be kept in an enclosure. Anyway. At the time, employees of the museum claimed that the USDA mounted an undercover campaign, sending agents to pose as tourists and surreptitiously taking pictures of the cats to help build the case. To comply with federal regulations, the Hemingway Museum would have been required to place the cats in cages at night, and the property would have had to hire a night guard to ensure the felines were contained properly. The USDA threatened the museum with fines amounting to $200 per cat, approximately $10,000 per day, for their noncompliance, as they would remove the cats or they would remove the cats from the property. After 5 years and $250,000 worth of legal bills, a judge ruled the Hemingway cats could continue to roam the museum freely, provided the Hemingway home build taller fences and upgrade its cat shelters. Wow. There's always a Karen involved, right? There's always, you know, there have been Karens longer than there's been Karen, I guess. Where is it? The resident cats do from time to time indulge their celebrity status from a bit of diva-like behavior. In 2016, Martha Gilham, not Hemingway's war correspondent, third wife, but the gray tabby named after her, nipped at an overeager terrorist and found herself detained at a local vet's office. It was the first time anybody remembered a Hemingway cat acting aggressively toward a visitor. After a 10-day imprisonment, Martha returned to the museum. She was a model prisoner, even dubbed a sweetheart by her jailers. To have or to have not a six-toed cat. Thanks to the popularity Hemingway's cats have attained in the decades roaming his historic Spanish colonial property, feline-loving Hemingway fans have been known to hunt down pterodactyl kittens to call their own. Lauren Ellis, development and marketing manager of Peggy Adams Animal Rescue League in West Palm Beach, said potential cat rescuers are wild for the six-toed felines. We do get polydactyl cats in, and people do ask for them, she said. We currently have one in our foster program named Peanut. Peanut boasts 7 toes on each of his front foot. Oh, wow, 7. And if you adopt a 7-toed cat of your own, you can learn more about Peanut here. And that says peggyadams.org. But if you'd like to take one home from the bona fide Hemingway cats, you're out of luck. The cats are born on the property here and stay at the home, according to Mrs. Morgan of the Hemingway home. But you can visit them and maybe learn a thing or two about their namesake 7 days a week at the Hemingway Home and Museum. If you're stuck at home like the rest of us, download the Hemingway Cat app to your smartphone where you can learn about each cat and its favorite spot to nap and engage in other feline pursuits. So that's pretty nifty. And open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily and 15 hours for adults, $6 for children. And that is obviously in Key West. Key West does also have a bit of a paranormal history as well, too. Let me talk about that at some other point in time. So, yeah, I would definitely like a six-toed cat. I think it would be nifty. But I guess they're reasonably rare. And I think I've said before, and I maintain this, I'm pretty sure that the two cats that I currently own will be my last two cats. I think I might go for a dog after the fact. I don't think it would be fair to Spatsy. I don't think Corny cares one way or another, but I think Spats, he's really needy. I don't think he would appreciate me getting a dog while he's still breathing. Now, I have a lot of other news. I'm just not going to do it, is what it comes down to. Let me see. I do want to do maybe at least one more story. Get rid of this. Let me pick judiciously here. Okay, well, yesterday was the anniversary of MTV, Changed Music Forever. 39 years ago, music television changed forever. A brand new network airing music videos was launched August 1st, 1981. Yep. Original air personalities, Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, J.J. Jackson, Martha Quinn, Nina Blackwood. MTV would define a generation through music, style, and culture. I don't know what is going on with MTV now. I honestly, quite frankly, I don't know. How's that? I don't even want to say anything that might be derogatory, because I'm not even quite sure that it's true, because I just haven't. I probably haven't consciously tuned to MTV since 90 something, early 90s. Yeah, early 90s sound about right to me. First video was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, which is actually pretty cool. Second was Pat Benatar, You Better Run. Everybody thinks it's Shadows of the Night, but it's You Better Run. Let's see, what else we got? Because this is actually kind of nostalgic. She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart at number 3. You Better You Bet by The Who. Little Susie's on the Up by Die PhD. We Don't Talk Anymore by Cliff Richard. Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders. Time Heals by Todd Rundgren. Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon. Rock the Paradise by Styx. When Things Go Wrong by Robin Lane and the Chartbusters. History Never Repeats by Split Enz. Hold On Loosely, 38 Special. Just Between You and Me, April Wine. Sailing, Rod Stewart. Iron Maiden by Iron Maiden. There you go, all you metalheads. Keep On Loving You, R.E. Speedwagon. Bluer Than Blue, Michael Johnson. Message of Love, The Pretenders. Mr. Briefcase by Lee Ritenour. Double Life by The Cars. In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins. Looking for Clues, Robert Palmer. Too Late by Shoes, and Stop Dragging My Heart Around, Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty, Heartbreakers. So, yep, there you go. I think that being said, I mentioned Captain Trips when I opened up, the late, great Jerry Garcia, 78 today, or it would have been 78 yesterday. Again, I always, you know, I'm still awake, so it still counts as the same day. All right, so I did that. I don't really see anything that I feel compelled to do. And my voice is starting to bother me a little bit. Something about all the slurring. You know, it's like walking, it's like trying to get my caboose in the snow. It just keeps sliding from slide to slide. So I'm going to get out of here. That being said, I'll be back next week, hopefully maybe for more than an hour. I don't know. We'll have to see. Like I said, it all depends on whether I have a guest or not. If I have a guest or not, I'll probably be on for more than an hour. If I don't have a guest, it'll probably be an hour, but then again, maybe not, because I may throw some music in there. I don't know. Just, but the best thing to do is a perfect opportunity for a plug, you know. Best thing to do is head over to lfmidwood.com. You'll see archives, social media, favorite links. There's a link to John's site up there. You head over to 11LRNI. That'll take you right over to Johnny Lightning, and got all Johnny Lightning's archives, and Dave the Boogeyman, and Big Steve Cole Memoriam, and all the way over to the far right, so good friend Brad Reed. I got Grits Radio. Check out his live stream, which is, I believe, up 24/7. That being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to play my typical close, and I'll be back next week. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.